just to ease my mind.
Well, good day, everybody out there, and Merry Christmas to you. It's actually coming up. For those of you who may have forgotten, Christmas is like next week. Are we doing a show next week?
It's on a Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah, let's do a show if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't...
I mean, I'm just going to be home alone, you know, by myself with no one to talk to, and the dog doesn't
like
the dog
18,
doesn't seem to care. And
you got like 18 birds and dog and...
22.
Yeah.
Yeah, 22 dirty stinking finches that I inherited, but anyway.
Yes. The only thing I disinherited, Monday afternoon was 4 teeth.
Oh. So, somebody punch you?
No.
Isn't there a song about that with, like, teeth?
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth, yeah.
Well, all I'd like for Christmas is my 4 teeth bridge.
Yeah, right.
It's, that's wonderful. And then this morning... We're having to go to computer, cash register, inventory stuff, you know, and all that.
Oh, right. So, it's end of the year. You do your inventory at the end of the year?
Yeah. We're just getting done with it, and it's all on computer, and so we're putting in computer cash registers, which means building new counters and my podcast office. We had to tear that apart and move part of that in another room. And so now that's a receiving room for product, and now new counter's going in. But this morning I lifted the damn counter up to get it on some dollies so I get it out in the sun where the polyurethane would dry, and threw my back out. And
oh, that's why you're grimacing. I thought I had said something, or Robert
something. And, you know, and you have one of those days where a customer, he comes up, and I'm out there staining on this, you know, piece of counter, and... He's furiously looking on his phone, and he's all... And I looked at him, and I said, what's wrong? I said, obviously from the look on your face, it's not like you're, you know, wanting to show me fish pictures out here in the bright sun where I can't see them anyway. And he says, well, I had the problem. I said, so you had a problem. What's the big deal? We'll take care of it, you know. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It's just a problem. Tell me what the problem is. Let's go fix it. This is easy. And, you know, it's Merry Christmas time. Relax. Enjoy yourself. You know, if you got a problem, just tell me about it. We'll get it fixed.
Well, that's the problem. It's the holidays, and everybody gets wound up really, really tight. So the slightest little thing that goes off kilter, they start screaming about.
And it's just like on Facebook. You said the big thing on Facebook, there's no red tide around. Well, I wish that was true, but it's not. The truth of the matter is we have low and some points medium concentrations around Charlotte Harbor. But if you're in the social media world, that means there is none. But no, the truth is we do have some red tide. Is it heavy enough to kill fish or harm anything? No. And the manatees who have been sick from the red tide, they don't get sick from breathing the red tide. Humans get sick from red tide, too, if you eat oysters or clams that don't die from the red tide, but they get full of red tide. It builds up a high concentration of red tide in their little bodies because they filter the water, and they're feeding on the red tide, basically. And humans get real sick if you eat a clam or an oyster with that because you ingest it into your body. And manatees get real sick from the red tide when they eat the grass, the seagrass, especially the floating stuff that has high concentrations of red tide clinging to the grass. Well, they get in their stomach and it gets inside of them, and that's a problem. So the truth is the red tide doing any harm right now? No. Will you notice if there's a red tide now? No. Truth is there a red tide? Yes. But is it doing any damage? No. So in the social media world, that means there is none. But, you know, I can't keep up to it. There's reality, and then there's virtual social media reality. And keep listening to here. We'll figure it out for you. All right, RJ.
This isn't going to be a math question, is it?
No, but kind of. You love to fish, and you dive, and you do all this stuff. What would be something on your Christmas list? What would you want for Christmas?
I usually... tend towards alcoholic beverages.
I was trying to think of fishing wise, but I agree with you. Some Pilar rum would be really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be good.
That's good sipping rum.
I think for
Don't use a mixer with it.
Yeah, I think for Christmas, if you're going to buy a fisherman stuff, it's usually the tools. You know, it's the fillet knife, it's the boga grip, it's
I can associate pliers, with tool.
Stuff
I'm
like
kind of a tool today.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, you know. Could be. You
yeah,
could be.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the way I would lean. So if I would go back to my tackle box and say, okay, my needle nose pliers are rusted solid. I'd need a new set, you know, that sort of thing. So
you're, if somebody got you a fishing gift for Christmas, you would like accessories, line clippers, pliers, hook removers, files, hook sharpeners,
yeah,
that
so
kind
of
thing?
All of that stuff, right. Because, you know, when it goes to buying lures, for example, you like to pick out your own pretty much. You know, so get me a gift certificate, I guess, if you're going to do that. But so, I like to pick out what I'm going to fish with. You know,
for you, it's either a gift certificate or possibly some cool accessory.
Yes, exactly right.
All right. Robert, somebody's going to get you a Christmas gift. What kind of things would you like in your little Christmas stocking?
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm going to want probably like the essentials that you kind of use all the time. You know, the line cutter, especially for cutting braid, leader material, because you're always going to use that, and split shots. You know, those couple normal, relatively inexpensive items that you use on almost every time you go fishing basis.
All right. Yeah. We had a woman come in, and I kind of felt bad. Carl was waiting on her. And I'm listening to her, and she says, well, just, you know, I want some stuff for my boss. And Carl's saying, well, you could do this, or you could do that, or you could get a gift certificate. I said, ma'am, what would you like? And she says, maybe some stuff for my boss. Maybe. I said, something like some lures or something? She says, yeah. I said, what would you like to spend? She said, $25. So I just went over, grabbed $25 of semi-unusual stuff that I doubt if he would pick on his own, because they're a little off the mainstream, but I know it worked. They need to catch fish. And gave her a package, and it was $28, so I gave her a $3 discount. Here you go. And she tickled to death. It's, you know, sometimes you can overthink Christmas gifts for fishermen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're looking for that exotic or the thing. What doesn't he have? Well, a lot of the guys want maybe another one of the things they have because they know they're going to lose them.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if you've got your favorite lures, say you
yeah, but they always throw the package away, and then we don't know what to do.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was getting to, is if they love an X-Rap 08 OG, and you don't know it's an X-Rap 08 OG, so you sneak in, you just take a picture of it. Everybody's got a camera phone nowadays.
Yeah.
You sneak in, you get a little picture of what's hanging on his rod. And we can either get you another color of that, or you can come in and, you know, and you could take a picture to any tackle shop, any reputable tackle shop. Northport's got fine bait and tackle up here. There's Economy. Cook's Tackle. There's Jim out of Fisherman's Edge. Bless him, finally retired, sold his building.
Did he really?
Yeah, going to miss Jim.
No kidding.
He
Good
was a
him.
Character. Boy, they say I'm part of the local color. Jim was color for the fishing area. Oh, my God. I think there's even a fly shop in Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And I don't really know of a lot of the other ones. Real Villa down in Punta Gorda, but I don't think they carry a lot of tackle. They do mostly bait. They got all the essentials, I think.
Right.
But, you know, there's a – find a local – tackle shop and just walk in and show them a picture of what's hanging on the guy's rod. That will give you, you know, by the lure, you can kind of tell, is he doing saltwater, freshwater, inshore, offshore, and give you an idea of what he likes. And that way they can get something that's similar, but maybe a little different, or even the exact same thing. But it's a lot easier if you've got a picture. And that picture, that one lure, can actually tell you, okay, if it's a small, shallow diving lure, chances are he fishes on the flats. And he's big into snook, redfish, trout, bonnet sharks, things like that that would hang out on the shallow waters. If it's more of a little jig, he might be a pompano permit guy. He might like doing the trout ladyfish thing. You can tell a lot by the lure hanging on the rod.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And even, you know, a picture of the rod that can tell you bigger tackle means the guy's, you know, obviously into bigger fish or deeper water fishing. There's a lot of things you can find out with just a picture.
Absolutely. And it makes the job so much easier when you've got so many different varieties of things to choose from. Having it narrowed down to at least in the same ball game makes it a whole lot easier.
You know, I go to Dr. Dan over there at Harborside Dental, and these teeth might have been going bad for a long time. And I don't know, I random thought, but you know how most people, you know, you're missing your, it's the four teeth on the bottom front. And those came out, and I got this plate thing in there. Well, I take the plate thing out to see myself for the first time with no, you know, bottom teeth there. And usually kind of look crazy, homeless, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you get, I mean, hillbilly. Let's face it. That's kind of what you expect. Not for me. Oh, no. I look werewolf. Ah. I have these big canine teeth sticking up above everything else. I got these big pointed teeth, nothing down in the middle, straight out werewolf. I take my teeth out. I don't look weird or homeless. I look scary.
Well, Robert, remind me not ever to go fishing with him on the full moon.
Right?
I mean,
might be an issue, huh?
I don't know why, but I just expected, oh, boy, here, Yopal Dopal, man. You're going to be, you know, this is going to be one hillbilly-looking son of a gun with no, and I went, whoa, that's scary. It looked like something right out of the movies with the big canine sticking up, and, oh, God.
Hey, but at least we do this on radio, so that way you just paint the visual.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. I would give nightmares to children, you know. Adults would need therapy. Children would have nightmares, yes. No, you don't want to see me without them. Sheephead.
Been doing really good. I mean, that cold that we had a couple weeks ago and then it warmed back up got the sheep's head moving around a lot. The whole intercoastal, I'm getting reports, Placida, any oyster patches along the intercoastal. Tom Adams Bridge has been ate up with some fish. And the guys that are fishing right on the bottom, fishing up against the bridge pilings and just doing extremely well. And then getting some really good reports even up there off the jetties in Venice. You know, and then last week we had a few nice days, actually some exceptional days for December. People were going offshore, but we got a lot of new people here, so they don't want to go too far outside of land. So a lot of people fished all these nearshore reefs within 5 miles, and they were catching some pretty good sheep's head too, in addition to a lot of other little stuff that they weren't sure about, because cool part about those nearshore reefs and using little shrimp and stuff, you never know what you're going to pull up. So it's been kind of cool.
So, RJ, Christmas gift for a sheephead fisherman. Any ideas? Ding, 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 ding.
Boxes ding, of frozen
ding,
shrimp.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, what?
Boxes of frozen shrimp, yeah.
Some frozen shrimp.
Because you're going to go through a lot of them.
All right.
And twist them ties.
Twisty ties. So you could tie the shrimp onto the... We had a call from Arizona about your twisty tie stuff.
Mm.
Somebody listening out in Arizona went, twisty ties? I can't remember all the, but there was some really goofy stuff happening on that show. Twisty ties stood up. All right.
Yeah.
Robert, Christmas gift, stocking stuffer gift for sheephead fishermen.
Fish bites.
Fish bites.
Yeah, fish bites. I'd go with fish bites.
Now, I like the bag of worms, the bloodworm ones. Mm-hmm. Which one do you like? The sand flea, the squid, the shrimp?
I'm probably going to go with either the shrimp being my first choice or the crab being my second choice.
So, crab.
Just because the shrimp would be my first choice because I want to turn them on to the fish bites with how wonderful it really is. And
now you hear the fish bites, you could sponsor this darn show.
Well,
yeah. I mean, come on. After that, you need a sponsorship. I know you're listening.
I think it would just build the confidence, you know, for him to use that and see the other species that he'll catch in addition to the sheep's head. And then if he wants to narrow it down to just species specific, the sand flea if he's beach fishing. The bloodworm would be great for both beach fishing.
I'm
going to
do the bloodworm for around Placida because we have a lot of worms in that area.
Absolutely.
And they feed on a lot of those worms. So if I'm fishing Placida, I'm going for the bloodworm. Probably, what about the nearshore reefs? Bloodworm or sand flea or shrimp or squid?
I'm probably still going to go with the shrimp or maybe your bloodworm because we have so many different marine worms that are around anyway.
I just didn't know out in the middle of the Gulf like that, 5 miles out, if there's still the worms there.
Yeah, there's worms out there. Plus, we have those garden eels, and they're born small, too, like anything else, so they would resemble a worm. I'm sure they get devoured pretty regularly.
All right. My thing, if I was somebody was fishing sheephead, I'm going to get them a double drop rig. Now, most stores will have them made out of monofilament, crimped together with the snaps and all that. Or you can get them in the steel leader, and you can add your hooks to either or. And I'm going to get probably an ounce little A-frame weight to go on the bottom of it, ounce and a half, or a pyramid sinker. And then I'm going to get the small, like, foam cigar floats. I want the tiny little cigar floats because I want to put that at the top of the double drop rig. And a double drop rig is just what it sounds like. You tie your line to the top of it. You put your sinker on the bottom of it. There's a clip or a snap. And so you'd want to use a pyramid sinker, an A sinker, a bass casting sinker, something with a loop on it that you can clip right to make it easy. And then you have two protuberances for hooks to attach to. One would be very low to the bottom. The other would be up. So I would, if I was a sheephead person, you know, a couple of double drop rigs, a little bit of sinkers, and the little floats to put on top, because if you let go of the line or you slack it, the whole thing will fall to the bottom. But if you put a little bobber on there, the bobber needs to be tiny enough so that that weight can drag it all the way down, the weight's hard on the bottom, and that little float keeps the rig upright but doesn't actually float it towards the surface. Little tiny bobber just float your rig and keep it upright. Anything else we can think of Christmas-wise for sheephead guy? I'm thinking of maybe a nice reel and rod and line and the double drop rigs and sinkers. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just getting greedy. Okay.
I think probably a helpful reminder to a lot of the sheephead fishermen, because we do have so many snowbirds down here, is that stringers are super popular up north, but down here keeping them on ice is much better and smarter to do.
You know, this time of year, the water's in the 60s and all that.
76 2 days ago.
Yeah, but it goes right up and back into the 70s, and it's like a bacteria factory. If I'm planning on eating a fish and I catch it in South Florida, I am just putting it in an ice chest on ice. And I'm sorry I've got that, but I've got this plate in the bottom of my mouth, and I keep making different sounds with letters until I get my permanent teeth. So
but yeah, your fish can spoil quickly here with the warm sun and then the warmer water. So
yeah, stringers are not your buddy down here.
No. So it would be a good idea just to make sure you take care of that.
Pompano, where are the pompano?
Oh, man. It's been a killer week this week with quite a few reports on all sorts of levels. The west wall, the east wall, guys that have been running along on the outside of the bar have been skipping them. Pirate Harbor's had a handful of them. And then I'm getting a lot of really good reports along the beaches. This past week, the weather was beautiful, so it was pretty calm out there. So a lot of guys fishing along the beach, especially near any of the passes, you know, Boca Grande Pass, Stump Pass, up towards the Venice Jetties, getting some pretty good reports. And some of the pompano I've seen pictures of, I had to do a double take to see if they were permit, because a couple of them were in that probably 20, 21-inch range. You know, even along the ICW, all through from Placida up into Lemon Bay. You know, it's been pretty impressive. Actually, Marilyn and her family, it was in the other day, they were showing me a lot of really good pictures of their pompano.
Isn't she a sweetheart?
Oh, my gosh. Just an amazing woman.
Yeah. let's see. RJ, now, any kind of gift that could be anything related to pompano fishing, what would a Christmas gift be for a pompano fisherman?
Oh, well, if it was somebody I really liked, I would get them a fly rig. I'd get them a fly rod, sinking fly line, and a couple of shrimp-like flies to go on the end of it. And I'd say, if you want to have fun with a fly rod, you want to catch pompano.
All right. I can go with that.
Taking one challenging thing and turning it into an even bigger challenging thing, but an impressive one.
Yeah.
That was kind of a neat thought.
I mean, catching a pompano on a fly rod is quite an experience. You don't have to be like you're fishing for trout in New York. It doesn't have to be that precise. You just have to get it in the water and move it around a little bit. And so that gives you some confidence. And a pompano on a fly rod will strip that line right off the fly rod. I mean, it sounds cool. It's exciting. You get to hold this 10-foot rod high up over your head, and it arches almost back down to your feet. It's a joy of a time to catch a pompano on a fly rod. And then you get to say, I catch saltwater fish with a fly rod.
Okay.
I like that. Right. That's pretty good.
Now, Robert, Christmas gifts associated to pompano fishing.
I'm honestly going with the easy no-brainer one, the banana jigs or crazy jigs. They're just so consistent. They're cheap, so you can buy a bunch of different colors and sizes to experiment with. And they catch a lot of other things besides the pompano, so it makes me feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside when the pompano may not be necessarily cooperating at that moment. I know I have a chance of whacking something else in addition to that.
All right. So here you have the thing, $100 rod, $100 reel, $50 worth of line, some value in leader and flies, or
$3
packages. You might be able to take that under consideration. The thing that I would think of with pompano is the banana jig, crazy jig, obviously. But I also like, I'll do a, you know, they have those flounder rigs with the double drops on them?
Yeah.
And I'm going to do two different setups with that. I'm going to use that pompano rig, double drop rig, and I'm going to put a big enough float and a light weight on it to keep it fairly close to the surface. Because I catch a lot of them under a bobber with the shrimp on it, piece of, and I'll tend to cheat a little bit. I'll put a piece of fish bites, about a 1-inch strip on the hook first. Then what I'm going to do, and I'm going to pick probably the sand flea flavor, maybe the shrimp flavor. And then I'm going to put a live shrimp on, or at least a piece of shrimp meat. And I want that on the hook second, because if they steal it, they'll come back for the fish bites, which is very hard to get off the hook.
Right.
Because they can be real delicate with their bite. And you'll see that bobber go down, you try and set the hook, and nothing. But don't reel it in at that point. Wait and see if they'll come back and hit that fish bites again. That's why the shrimp is easy to get off the hook, because it's soft, it's easy to steal. But the fish bites is not. Now, I've done the same thing with a piece of squid. I'll cut a little strip of squid, stick it on the hook, and then put the shrimp on. So when they steal that shrimp off easy, they come back to get the squid, which, again, is very hard to get off the hook. But I don't always like having to carry the shrimp and the frozen squid. So in place of that, I went to the fish bites because it seems to work. And I'll do that on the top and the bottom hook. And if there's not a lot of current, I'll actually attach a hook in place of the sinker on the bottom right to that snap and put another bait down there. So I'm actually floating three baits for them. But if I have a second person fishing with me, I've got a heavy weight and a light bobber so they can be down by the bottom. And having one longer leader laying right on the bottom, because sometimes those pompanos really are feeding straight off the bottom. There I'm going to put a live shrimp, I'm going to put the bloodworm fish bites on, live shrimp, and on the top one, I'm going to switch it up with the shrimp-flavored fish bites or the sand flea, and then put my live shrimp on there and the little bobber. So I got one with the hook on the bottom, one a little bit up, another one floating around at the top, coming down about 2.5-3 feet, because if I got two people fishing, I don't want them to have the same rigs. So I'm using the double drops on both of them, but one's up by the surface with a big bobber, little to no weight on it, The hook's all baited up. One's down with a big sinker and a light bobber, so it's right on the bottom. So I'm covering both bases.
I like that idea. That's pretty good.
RJ, good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, and I think what we're going through is the idea there's multiple ways to rig for different species, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And I'm hoping that's what we're getting out of these conversations.
I don't know. I'm not going to go right or wrong with that, though, because I'm going to say what's working today is the best one, and then tomorrow you might have switched to a different one. So it might be right today and wrong tomorrow.
Well, it's like a double drop rig. If you don't put the cork on it, you're going to catch catfish.
Yep.
I mean, you'll catch fish. I promise you. You put something edible out there, something's going to come along and eat it. But if both baits are laying on the bottom, you're going to catch catfish.
Much higher percentage of chance of catching catfish like that. But if you can get one up, you have a better shot of something else, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, I mean, there's definitely no shortage of the catfish, and when you are fishing right on the bottom, that is going to be an unfortunate byproduct of it. Mm-hmm. The good news is if you're right there out on the beach, for some reason it goes in little spurts when there's an abundance of catfish on the beach versus at times there's almost like no catfish out there, which is something I've never really understood.
All right, so where are the snook right now?
Well, it warmed up a little bit more this week, so the reports I got, honestly, were late afternoon, and got some really good reports up in the Myakka River from El Jobin all the way up here to, like, Snook Haven. And I had two different guys that were fishing. One was fishing by these trailer parks, actually not too far up the road, fishing the canals, and then another gentleman actually put in at Snook Haven and came downriver to the bridge and then went back upriver above Snook Haven, trolling. And they both caught snook from 22 inches to the guy that went upriver. He actually got one that was, he said it was probably about 39 inches or so. He tried to measure it with his little 36-inch tape measure, but said it was a little tricky and he wanted to get back in the water. And then also up on the Peace River, starting to get some pretty consistent reports of those up there from Harbor Heights all the way up to above the Navigator and especially up towards the Shell Creek Dam area. Had a couple of kids in this week buying the flare hawks and just the regular storm swim baits, and they said that they've been doing fairly well on not giant snook. They've been catching them in like the mid-20s to low 30s, but having a few here and there and just having a ball.
So, RJ, best gift for a snook fisherman?
I think you're in the lure market now for a snook fisherman. I like surface lures and lures that suspend just under the surface, you know, a minnow with a lip on it, or, you know, the bomber type lures with the paddles on the back or the propeller on the back. So something in that realm.
All right. Robert, gifts for a snook fisherman.
One of those
one of the doohickeys with the thingamabob?
The lipper.
Oh, the boga grip, the bogus grip.
Bogus grip, yeah.
The $18 one, not the $130 one.
Right. You know, just because, I mean, snook don't have teeth, but they have such sandpaper-type teeth that they can just beat up your thumb really, really good. But I find that to be the best for me personally of, you know, usually I'm sitting on my dock or on the boat behind the house. And catch them, and I use that grip to actually keep them in the water to have a little bit better control of them, but keep my hand just a little bit further away from the hooks in the mouth.
a lure, you don't want to be grabbing the mouth of the fish with the lure in there because it's not good for you or the fish.
Right.
So by using this lip gripper, you can control the fish, have them there, and not even have to take them out of the water unless you want to.
Right.
And get your hooks out, and you're a little more safe.
Yeah,
safer
exactly.
For you and the fish.
Yeah, since you have to release the snook anyway, you probably want to keep them in the water as long as you possibly can, or even not take them out. There's been a discussion about the grips. Should you grip the snook on his lower lip, or should you grip him on his upper lip?
It's six of one and a half dozen the other.
The discussion I heard is when you grab him on the lower lip and you try to lift him up, you can dislocate the jaw.
It is true, once you get up well over 30 inches.
Okay.
Well over 30. Bass fishermen have been picking bass up by their lower jaw for years.
Centuries.
And it doesn't hurt the fish. And the snook has the same build. But now where this dislocation comes in is if you have a massively heavy fish. Now, you can dislocate a human jaw by jerking someone up, but quite honestly, you could pick a human up who was of average weight by his jaw and not dislocate it. But if that person was 80 pounds overweight, you're going to dislocate their jaw picking them up. And it's the same thing with a snook. If he's 30 inches and pretty slender, you're not hurting that fish grabbing his lower jaw. But if it's 38 inches and fat, oh yeah, you're going to dislocate its jaw. It's all about size relationship to the muscle available for that. So you grab him by the jaw, and then you grab him under his belly, and you pick him up the same time with both hands, keeping the fish more horizontal rather than vertical, and no, you're not going to dislocate his jaw. Even if you hung a very heavy fish by his jaw, hanging him probably wouldn't do it, but if he starts flopping around or you start jerking, yeah, you could dislocate his jaw. It's no different for people, animals, fish. Size relationship's a big deal.
Absolutely.
If he's around 30 inches, under 30, I wouldn't even consider it would be a problem, under 30 inches. The more you get over 30 inches, the fatter the fish is versus the length. Because they start getting more girth and less length once they hit 30 inches. Until they hit 30, they're growing long much more than they are growing around girth-wise. And then after 30, where that reverses, they start getting more girth per inch. And that's where the problem would be.
Yeah, and you brought up another good point. You don't grab the fish with the grip and pick him up straight out of the water vertically. The best way to deal with a fish that you're going to release is pick him up horizontally.
Well, if it's a 25 or a 20-inch snook or maybe even a 30, I can just, you know, put the gripper on the lip, pick him up, and then bring him over to lay him out after that. Mm-hmm. I still fall back. It's not a big deal. But the bigger the fish is, the more you have to think, okay, you know, especially one you're not allowed to keep. You know, you want to do it, and always two-handed is best, but it's not absolutely necessary, and I doubt if you're ever going to caught. Econuts have a one rule fits everybody socialist view of the world. If with socialism, if it's good for one, it's good for everybody. If I have a flip phone, everybody has to have a flip phone. And the reality in the animal world or fishing or hunting or farming or birds or animals, everything's a little bit different. Take everything in its own circumstance. Now, snook fishermen, my gift, obviously, like you said, RJ, lures, the Rapala X-Wrap 08s and 10s are probably your best snook lures. The Storm Twitch Stick. These are lures with a lip on them that when you reel them in, makes the lure wiggle. The deflection of the water off of the lip puts it under the water and makes it swing side to side, helping you catch a fish. Some of the more difficult ones to fish are the mirror lures, the Miradines, which catch a lot of fish, but have zero action outside of what you give that lure. So if you're using the Rapala mullet with the two single hooks on it, it is a cousin to the mirror lure, let's say ripoff of the mirror lure Miradines, which is probably a ripoff of something else and a ripoff of somebody else, but maybe mirror lure invented those, I don't know. But the Miradine is probably the number one twitching lure for snook. Right. But you have to remember, you got to twitch that rod tip. If you throw it out and just reel it in, it's not going to catch anything. It's not an X-Wrap. It's a twitch bait, and if you don't twitch it, it don't twitch.
Now it looks like a colorful stick coming through the water.
Exactly.
In a straight line like nothing else does in the world.
Yeah.
And I will say, if I'm going to fish docks for a snook, the one thing, if you're pretty darn sure, and you've caught snook on that dock before, and you cast the lure underneath there, and you're not getting them to bite, and you really think that you should, put a rattle trap on. Because a rattle trap is noisy, obnoxious, you know, and you can throw that rattle trap underneath there 3, 6, 10, 12, 15 times, and eventually you're going to make that snook mad enough where he's going to just bite it to shut it up. He's not going to bite it because he wants to eat it. He's going to bite it because he is so angry and annoyed with it. It's like some kid pulling up next to you with one of those cars going boop, 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 boop. Eventually, you're going to get out there and just beat the windows in. You know, and that's the way a snook does it. So, sting kind of with the salt water. Let's go trout. Everybody's talking about trout. No, there's new rules on trout now. We have a whole new thing to deal with.
Just to add more confusion.
First up, lane snapper. Out of season. They're closed. Not because of this year, because of 2018. In 2018, all of a sudden the feds came up and said, oh, wait a minute, you caught too many lane snapper in 2018. And so we're going to close the 19 season down. You can't keep any more lane snapper till the end of the year because in 18 you caught too many. You're doing fine in 19, but in 18 you caught too many, so we got to close at 19. Now, is that the way you understood it?
The way I understood it is that they haven't even read 2019 yet.
No, they're working off 2018.
Yeah, so 2018 you caught too many, so we're going to close it down for 3 weeks, which is going to so much help the population. By the time we get to 2019 to look at those numbers, what are we going to do then? You know, it's like it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to me.
Well, I guess, you know, we should impeach everybody in there for failure to promote or populate fish correctly or something. Because you can impeach people in that level. They've sure. impeached judges, and they impeach senators, and they impeach presidents, they impeach everybody. So why not just keep this going? Let's just impeach everybody at the Marine Fisheries Commission, because obviously we're paying for what they didn't do in 2018.
Right.
So that's an abuse of their power, or a lack of use of their power. In other words, they were freaking lazy. Let's impeach them.
Yeah, and does a three-week closure have any impact on the population at all? I mean, that's even noticeable. How many lane snapper are you going to catch in 3 weeks, especially at the end of the year? You know, when the weather could be bad, or it's going to be cold, it's going to be blustery. It's not going to have that many people out there fishing for lanes.
This just shows you the inefficiency of the way they think. I mean,
you know what they should do? They should actually get a fisherman on one of those panels.
Why? When somebody they can have actually, their sister's brother-in-law's barber's nephew's son who needed a job go and run that.
Well, that's true.
That, it's so much more efficient that way.
It is. I didn't figure the campaign donations that come along with that.
So. Yeah, you've got it.
Yeah, never mind the fishermen, because we don't give money to any politicians, not for any reason.
I always remember the guy who came and wanted me to endorse this one candidate running for local office somewhere. I said, I'll be all in. I'll donate money, time, I'll put up signs, I'll go door to door. If you can tell me an honest answer to one question, have you ever met a politician who was the same person a year after they were elected as they were before they were elected? Who did what he said he was going to do, was the same person, and just didn't get kind of caught up in all the money and, okay, I can get this and I get invited to these dinners and that dinners and, you know. He couldn't answer that truthfully, that, yes, he knew of one. And he was big into politics. I've never seen him again.
Yeah, you know? Imagine that.
And I didn't have to pay any money. Go into trout. New laws.
Okay. The new law basically... Now, it takes into effect, what, February 1st, I think, is when it actually is officially on the books. But trout officially on the west coast of Florida are still completely closed until at the earliest May when they decide to possibly open it again. So there's one confusing part to the new regulation.
Yeah, you can keep 3 trout 15 to 19 inches per person. And on a boat, you can have 1 trout on a boat over 19 inches per boat.
Yeah.
So if you're out with 3 guys, there can only be 1 trout on that boat over 19 inches. And with three people, you're still only allowed 9 trout.
Right.
So, yeah. But only one on the boat total can be over 19. The other 8 have to be 15 to 19. Yeah. Over 15, less than 19.
Yeah. It's.
But not until May.
It's confusing.
Are you confused, RJ? You have that look.
I have no idea. I mean, why would
And you're an attorney.
Why would you put rules in effect for a season that's not open unless they're being magnanimous and saying, well, this is the way we get the information out to the public?
Well, when I see you confused and going, what? And you're an actual attorney. You have a law degree and everything.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've never been able to fathom how these rules are made and why they're made and are they really going to have a
And who comes up with this crap?
Yeah, who comes up with this stuff? Or is it just, hey, look, we're sitting on this commission. We haven't done anything in like 6 months. We need to come up with something. All right, let's make some rules on trout. Yeah, let's make them go in effect February 1st before our appointments are up. Well, wait, the trout season doesn't open until May. Shh, don't say anything. Just put them in there.
I know. But whether you're watching Congress, oh, we're going to impeach the president, but, oh, he did this great trade deal, so we're going to sign that trade deal in because that way we'll have done something. And I don't care if you like the guy or not. It's just, how dumb is this? And this carries all the way on down to every level.
It carries right down to local boards. You see
to
it
the
on
FWC.
Your local see it on your local zoning boards. You see it on your planning commissions. I mean, I find it amazing that stuff trickles down to
what do they aspire to be that ridiculous?
I don't know.
Or is there a handbook?
It may come with the turf. I don't know.
There might be a handbook. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you can still catch and release trout.
Yes.
And where would you go to catch and release trout?
I'm going to probably go into Bull Bay and Turtle Bay.
Okay.
They're both pretty similar in their habitat. You know, there's some good, healthy grass in those spots with some deep trenches and sand holes. So I'm going to go in there and start just fan casting over some of those
deeper grass. Pine Island Sound?
Pine Island Sound's incredible, but I'm not going down there unless I'm with you.
Okay. So you got Pine Island Sound, St. James City, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. Anything up in Lemon Bay?
Yeah, getting some reports up in Lemon Bay from the Miserable Mile all the way on up. I mean, even above those two guys that always wade fish out there by the Lemon Bay Conservancy, they started picking up a few fish.
We had a little bit up by Harbor Heights, and there was a few by 41 Bridge, but I don't think I'd give either one much of a shot up there right now.
No.
But Bull Bay, Pine Island Sound, Lemon Bay, probably your better bets. RJ, Christmas gifts for a trout fisherman. Wait a minute. We've been doing this all show.
Yeah. Well, okay. I never know what the fish species is going to be.
Yes.
I'd say small silver lures.
Okay. Robert?
Small silver lures?
Yeah.
Soft plastic?
Doesn't this table suck?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. Robert just about dumped the whole table over on himself. I'll lean on this end. Robert, you lean on that end.
Okay. I'm going to probably... Oh, geez, that's a good one. I don't know. I'm going to probably go with standard.
Here it is. Go back old school. If somebody really likes catching trout, you're going to use a tandem rig. Tandem as in two. So you've got two jigs tied to the same leader. As you cast, the one jig trails right behind the other one. The DOA Deadly Tandem is the best one on the market right now. This chasing action is amazing on trout. Now, you can use a Miradyne, a Miralure, the MR-17s, and all this other stuff, but I will outfish you every time by going back old school to the old Love Lures. But Love Lures are out of business. So the next one in line is the DOA Deadly Tandem. Now, this Deadly Tandem has one requirement. You must reel it in at a moderate pace. And while you're reeling, lift your rod tip all the way up to about 11 o'clock. Drop it all the way down to about 9 o'clock with the rod straight in front of you. Point it straight out. Lift back up to about 9. Drop half an hour and come all the way back up to 11. So you're going from 9 10:30, 9:30, 11. And what you're doing is you're giving that, it's the jig is jumping up off the bottom as you lift your rod tip up. And then as you drop that rod tip, that jigs are falling close towards the bottom. And then all of a sudden they dart up again. What you want to picture is something being chased out of the grass and then going up and going down to hide in the grass and chased up out of the grass and going down to hide in the grass. It's that up and down jigging action that makes those fish nuts. The bad news, they are going to hit it on the way down. So you're going to, every time you lift that rod tip to do another jig, you have to think there's going to be a fish on there. Because you're not going to feel them the moment they bite, but as you go to lift that rod tip up, that's when you're going to find out about that fish. And it's not uncommon to have two trout on at the same time, or two ladyfish, or two Spanish mackerel. Double your pleasure, double your fun. Why have only one when you can have two for twice the price? Yes, it is a tandem special. So, I'm sorry, that's it. That's what you want to give a trout fisherman. And they're less than $4. They're $3-something for a tandem bag with, you know, two lures, which is actually just one lure.
Two lures in one.
Yeah, two in one. And my teeth didn't even blow out when I did that. That was awesome. They stayed right in there. Okay.
That's something I got to try as a tandem rig.
I thought you were going to try and see if you would blow your bridge out. No, okay.
No, not yet, at least in my life.
You've actually got teeth, so I'm envious.
So far, I'm
envious.
Until somebody pops me in the face, I still got
it. Keep pushing me, RJ.
The joke of the day today was an Irishman walks out of a bar. Okay, stop laughing. You know it could happen. But anyway, to go back to the topic on hand, I've never used a tandem ring, but that makes perfectly good sense. There was a time for lake trout. We used to tie, we put the lure on the end of a wire leader, and we would tie some fishy-looking thing up on the front, you know, like a fly-type tie, and you would drop that over the side and just jerk it up and down, and the lake trout would go nuts for that because it looked like something chasing something, and it would try to eat both of them.
Yeah, it's the chasing action that makes it work. And every modern lure and all this and all that, yeah, they're all good, but they're not a tandem. And that's what it really takes to get those trout crazy. Bass fishing, Robert. Real quick, we only got, 2 minutes left? 4 minutes left. So real quick on that, because I want to get to crappies.
2 to 4 pounders are kind of popping up everywhere. Guys are catching them mostly on shiners, but we've had quite a few guys looking for the Cinco-style worms.
He threw shiners in, and it scared the bass off.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, if you throw it right on top of their head sometimes, it'll do that.
Bed. He was throwing at them on the bed, and that was just scaring them off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would just swing around and eat it. But they weren't interested in eating them, but they were. So many fish are on the beds in some areas, and they're pre-spawn and post-spawn in other ones. They've got before the spawn, after the spawn, in the spawn, and on the beds right now. They're all over the map. But if you see a bass on the bottom, don't throw the shiner on his head.
No, don't throw any lure on their head or live bait. Just cast it just past them and work it towards the bed. Let it slowly approach like it's actually coming up with malicious intent, and that usually will get the bass to turn around and defend its nest. But they're doing pretty good on them, you know, so.
Bass fishing is actually doing real well. Some of the crappies going on around the state, because crappie fishing is huge right now. We're going through thousands of minnows a week, literally thousands and thousands. And we were laughing last week trying to figure out how many minnows per hour would you take with you. Common consensus, I think, was 2 dozen or 3 dozen an hour. But in Northport, pretty good results, crappie fishing?
Very good results. Actually, my nephew and his best friend have been going out several different times with their family members and catching some really nice fish up to 15 and a half inches.
Crappie, 15 and a half.
And another gentleman that showed me a picture of one on the board. It was 16 inches, just over 16 inches.
Wow.
And he caught, I don't know, I think he said 16 or 18, I forget. But getting a lot better numbers from just local canals, especially all the Northport canals.
And they're saying this year, too, that they're fatter. It's a fatter fish than what we normally have been seeing in the crappie.
Last year was a very poor crappie season.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just elected not to go So we had a lot of extra crappies last year because they were either smaller, just not biting right or whatever. So we had a really poor crappie season. Less people went fishing. Left a lot of extra fish in there. Figure each canal probably had 200 to 500 extra crappie running around, which have had a year to get a lot bigger.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then the guys at Lake Okeechobee and Lake Placid have really been coming in also talking about how great it's lit up over there for the daytime fishing, not just the nighttime.
You can actually go to Okeechobee right now and expect to get some decent crappie fishing in during the day. The best bite is still at night,
yeah.
But I hear Trafford's turned around, Istapoga's doing well, Kissimmee Chain is doing good. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
This is right now one of the best crappie fishing weeks of the year. Because you're coming into this week, there's a lot of people out there fishing, a lot of stuff going on with the crappies. If you're going to get into it, you want to do it. And you're going to have some time off with Christmas and all that. And Merry Christmas, boys and girls.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure you have a wonderful Christmas and enjoy all of your family and your friends. And
take them out fishing.
Take advantage of every
moment. Or avoid them as much as possible and have a really relaxing time.
There you go.
I don't know which way to go. But from RJ, Robert, and myself, be safe. Have a wonderful Christmas. We'll talk to you next week. And stop by and say Merry Christmas to the store if you can. We're down at Fish and Franks in Charlotte Harbor, fishandfranks.com. Merry Christmas. Bye. WKDW. We rock.
Ho,
best
ho,
in the
ho.
World.